This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Morning show crew are starting to filter in, and this for our New York affiliate with whom we share studio and newsroom space. And I said to him, is it payday? He said, yes, I think so. But he had to think about it for a second. And then he made the wise crack. I mean, he should know better. We're working radio, for heaven's sakes. The wisecrack that it must be nice to have so much money that you don't even know when it's payday or worry about when it's payday. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, that's exactly the situation right here. So much money that I don't even care when it's payday. Which reminds me of a story, and this will help us transition to baseball. Producer Pete, I'd love to get your reaction to this. When I was buying my first car, so I had hand-me-downs for most of my 20s. And so when I was buying my first car, I would say it was late 20s. It wasn't brand new, but it was a Saturn Ion that had only about 6,000 miles on it. So it was a program car. And I was spending a couple months in Northeast Ohio, Youngstown area, which is where my mom's family is from. I was in between jobs. So I had left my job in Oklahoma. I was trying to find my next stop. And so I was living out of boxes and suitcases with all my furniture stuffed in her garage in her basement. But while I was there, I needed to buy a car because the hand-me-down I had was dying. In fact, I remember the mechanic that I took it to try to keep it running said to me, in the next couple months, your feet are going to go right through that floorboard because that's how badly it's rusted out. So I needed to get a new car. So anyway, I'm up in Cleveland at a car dealership, a Saturn dealership there. And I decided I would buy this car, took it for a test drive. It was a stick shift. Oh my gosh, she was amazing. She was icy blue. Her name was Dixie. Terrific car. Had her for 10 years, put over 300,000 miles on her. Believe it or not, she was still running when I gave her away. I donated her to a police officer's family back in that area in Youngstown because I couldn't drive a stick in New York. It was too much to sit in traffic with a stick. So I missed driving a stick. Anyway, great car, terrific car. The point is, I remember they do kind of a celebration when you come pick up your car. And so they had confetti falling from the ceiling and they had a little sign that said, I'm going home today, that was in the window. You know, it was kind of neat. It was like adopting a dog. And the guy told me the story of how when Manny Ramirez was a Cleveland Indian, they used to provide his cars. He found out what I did for a living. So this is his way of relating to me as a sports talk host. He said Manny Ramirez used to stuff his paychecks in the glove box of the vehicles that he would lease from. Well, I don't even, they might have had an agreement. He probably wasn't even paying for them. It was a mutual agreement. He would stuff the paychecks in the glove box of the cars that he was driving for this dealership, and he'd return the car and leave the paychecks in there. And they would call him or call his agent 3 weeks later, still hasn't picked up his paychecks, doesn't care, not worried about it. They'd have to send it somewhere via snail mail to his agent or his financial rep. Didn't even notice, didn't care. So they didn't have, at that point, there was no direct deposit. So they were paying in checks. Yeah, and the Cleveland Indians, they would send him his checks and he'd stuff them in the glove box and just leave them there. Didn't really care. Could you imagine? Could you imagine being that rich?
He's not the only athlete that probably does that, too. And I know that Ricky Henderson, I think, framed a check of his. And I think it was Ricky Henderson that framed his check. And they were wondering why it wasn't cashed. And it was because, oh, hey.
I don't need to.
It's all framed.
Yeah,
but,
right?
But, yeah, no, it's good to have that era of comfort.
I guess. I can't imagine being that fast and loose with my money ever. Not only as someone who has an accounting degree, but also as someone who grew up poor. There's no way I would ever just forget about a paycheck.
Me too. But the comfort level, I would absolutely love it to be able to do that. Now, on payday for me, the check does is very active. It does a little bounce around the bank account, but doesn't go in the bank account.
Oh. Mine's already spent, in case you're wondering.
Right.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you're waking up on your Friday, well, happy Friday to you. If you're not quite there yet, we're ushering in your Friday, so we're here for another couple hours. 855-212-4227 at Amy After Hours. If you want to vote for the game of the week, we've got some good options. I know you may not believe it, but Bills and Seahawks is actually a battle between first place teams. Colts and Texans, top two teams in the AFC South. And I'm excited to see what D'Amico Ryan, CJ Stroud, that young offense, but also some of the great talent they have on defense, how they rebound. Because CJ's admitted specifically about the offense, they're not playing great right now. And they're turning around and they're playing on a short week as well. And so the preparation might be a little bit different. Just think with the Texans, this is some major adversity that they're facing. Their first year together, D'Amico Ryans and CJ and Nico Collins, and I know he's injured right now. Some of the young guys that they brought in, they didn't face a lot of adversity last season. They lived a very charmed life, if you will. And the division opened up for them when the Jaguars tanked at the end of the year, winning one of their last six games. So now here they are, and they've got to pull themselves out and figure out this funk that they're in a little bit. Now, they lost to Green Bay by 2 points. They had the lead late until Green Bay drove the field to make a last-second field goal. They manhandled the Patriots. That was no big thing. They also were able to beat the Bills just a few weeks ago. So I don't think that they're in trouble by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think it's good for them to fight through a little adversity and now have to face a division opponent. D'Amico Ryans, I know he's used to this because he played in the NFL and then he coached as a D coordinator and he was with the Niners and they certainly faced plenty of it. But I do like the idea that this leadership has got to step up here and lead them through.
This week we're focused on the Colts, everything we have to do to, you know, go out and compete our best versus the Colts and try to work to get a win. So that's our focus. We'll deal with next week when next week comes.
We're just excited for this matchup, you know, another division opponent, you know, on our schedule, you know, another opportunity to go out there and showcase, you know, who we are as a team. You know, we're just looking for a W this week.
Anthony Richardson will start his second game in returning from injury. And this is kind of funny. Pete, you must agree that this could be the NFL's sense of humor coming to play. The Jets. It's the Jets hosting the Texans on Halloween night, primetime. So next Thursday is Halloween, so we're inside of a week to Halloween, and the NFL decided the Jets should host Thursday Night Football against the Texans. Host it, mind you. So it's taking place at MetLife against the Texans. So yeah, Texans have the Colts, which is a division matchup, and then on Halloween, well, that's a bit of a buzzkill for all those families that have kiddos. They get to play at the Jets.
That could be
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right, and it could be the end of the Jets.
The end.
That might be.
Well, that's
if you look at
very
it,
very ominous.
That could be
on Halloween.
The end of their of a potential run in the, to the playoffs, just because of the way the schedule is, and this is probably that not their easy stretch. Not that the Texans are easy, but it's a stretch where they could get some wins, and if they can't get out of the gate after Halloween, that's it.
It's sort of funny, though.
It is.
The NFL,
oh, very funny.
The NFL put them on Halloween as the host on a primetime game. Just what Aaron Rodgers needs.
They should put the Jet logo on pumpkins all across the country. That would be a very scary thing for them. Put it right on the step. Scare kids.
We had talked about this a little bit on our last show. Of these teams right now that are sitting in precarious positions, whereas Pete says you're kind of having to put up or shut up now. Put up or that's it for the rest of the season. Kind of. We do see teams make a run, and we also see teams fall off a cliff. That happens over and over again. But for right now, the AFC East, they're about to get run out of the building. The Bills are that close to running away with it. Now, the Dolphins get Tua back, and that's a huge deal. How quickly can he shake off the rust and find that rhythm again? We hear that he looked great in practice. Jalen Waddle said he and Tyreek Hill, they were already connecting, and Tua looked accurate as he typically does. I think the good news is for Tua, even though they had him on IR and he had to pass all kinds of different checks to make sure that he could progress through concussion protocol. He's not felt badly from the beginning, going back to when they put him on IR. He said he felt great. He was in the building. I don't know how much they allow him to do when he's in concussion protocol, certainly not getting hit, but maybe he's throwing. Maybe he's able to work out. He says that he didn't have any type of symptoms from a head injury, which is good. Now, it doesn't always tell you what's happening underneath the surface or in your brain, in your noggin, but they are getting him back and they say he looks good. So the Dolphins have two wins. The Jets have two wins. Could those be teams that make a run? Could we see the Bengals now make a run? They've won back-to-back games to get to 3-4. Is that a team that might insert itself into the conversation in the AFC about the Jaguars? I don't know what it is about them. They've got so many talented players, and it just isn't working. It's not meshing. It's kind of ugly. Even Doug Peterson has indicated that. I've heard analysts say the same thing. We don't know why it's not working, because they've got all the pieces they need. Maybe it's leadership. Who knows? Shad Khan has seemingly indicated he's not going to fire Doug Peterson, but that was... Well, they didn't lose to the Patriots, but they did fall into a 10-0 hole in London before they were able to get out of that. So the Jaguars have two wins. Think about the Broncos. They're 4-3. They're coming off a mini bye this weekend. Remember, they played Thursday Night Football in New Orleans with Sean Payton back in New Orleans. So they played last Thursday, and now they're hosting the Panthers. Could they potentially get to 5-3 by winning against the Panthers and Bryce Young, who's back on the field this weekend? So there's another opportunity for a team in the AFC to kind of take a step forward. The Chargers, they're sitting at 500. What do they do this week? So those are a couple of teams that I think are worth watching. You may poo-poo them because of their record. Same thing with the Cowboys, who were 3-3. Even the Bears sitting at 4-2, though their division is extremely tough. And that Bears-Commanders game, I wish Jaden Daniels could play. I know that he's been listed as day-to-day. Pete, have we heard anything definitive about Jaden?
No, the last I heard was what Coach said.
Mm-hmm. On Wednesday.
He said on Wednesday that they were going to look at Friday and see what happens. So I think you'll probably get an answer maybe today on that.
All right. So I'm hoping that he is able to play, but right now status unknown. But the Commanders and the Bears together, just the fact that you've got you've got the great defense for the Bears, special teams as well, and then you've got both these top two rookie quarterbacks that are making waves in the NFL at this point. Could the Bears make a run, as difficult as it will be in the NFC North? Kind of fun, by the way, a bunch of you, and this includes me too, I had forgotten that Ron Rivera was on that 1985 Bears team that won a Super Bowl. I do remember that was one of my earliest Super Bowl memories, because I was growing up in New Hampshire and the Patriots were this upstart team and they made it all the way to the Super Bowl. Remember in the AFC Championship? You may not remember. I will never forget this. This will stick with me the rest of my life. For those of you who are Patriots fans and are old enough to remember, Squish the Fish, Miami. They played Miami. I think it was the AFC Championship. And in those 2 weeks, you know, the week leading up to the game and then afterwards, all you heard was about squishing the fish. Squish the fish. Squish the fish. And so then they get to the Bears and Refrigerator Perry and that incredible defense, one of the best of all time, and they get squished, as in squashed like a bug. Or like, remember the Karate Kid? Squashed like a grape.
not even competitive in that game either.
No, it wasn't. It was I don't remember the score. I just know it was a bloodbath. So I forgot that Ron Rivera was on that team. And I don't remember, other than Refrigerator Perry and Jim McMahon and Walter Payton, right? He was on that team too.
Yep.
Those are the only, I know there were others. Richard Dent, mm-hmm. Was he part of that?
Yep.
Richard Dent.
Steve McMichael.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yep, I do remember they had all kinds of characters, and we got Refrigerator Perry and his dance and all that jazz, but I was really young. That's one of my earliest Super Bowl memories, and it was because growing up in New Hampshire, that Patriots team was all the rage. It was pre-Belichick, obviously, pre-Brady, pre-all of that.
And Walter Payton did not score a touchdown in that Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't remember anything like that. Yeah. No more details other than Refrigerator Perry and Jim McMahon, who was too cool for school.
Just backtracking a little bit on Jaden Daniels, he did not practice on Thursday.
Okay.
But so it's still unknown.
Neither Wednesday nor Thursday.
If he's going to play.
Okay, gotcha.
So it could all be precautionary, and he plays. You know
that's true. It's true. So. So we're looking at potential teams for a potential run, potential candidates for a run, I should say. I mean, the NFC West right now, Cardinals, Rams, and Niners are all 3-4. How about that? All of them 3-4, looking up at the Seahawks, who are 4-3, and hosting the Bills this weekend. So there's a lot there. There's a lot of opportunity, I think, still. And the fact that the Rams just won two games in a row and have gotten their two offensive guns back, I mean, that's humongous. And we'll see. Can the Niners get healthy? Obviously tough when you've lost Brandon Ayuk for the season, but Deebo Samuel should be back this weekend. I hope he's not still suffering from that form of pneumonia that he had. The way that, and still waiting on CMC, of course, the way that the season stretches on, there's so many ebbs and flows, and I don't think any team is winning a title in week 8, nor do I think you can bury the majority of the NFL. There are a few that you know don't have the talent. The Panthers aren't going to be able to make a run. Likely the Browns are not, even though they are changing quarterbacks. It's just they've lost a bunch of pieces too. And the Patriots, they're in rebuild mode. So those are a couple teams that you don't expect to make a run, but there might be others.
I think of the teams you've mentioned, the Chargers are the one. Even though they lost last week, I think looking at their schedule, the fact that they have the quarterback, I think it works very much in their favor. They play the Saints, they play the Browns, they play the Titans the next 3 weeks, and then the Bengals the fourth week. They got the Ravens, but then they have Falcons, they have the Chiefs, they have Bucks, Broncos, Patriots. So there are wins.
Winnable
there.
Games.
There are very winnable games there. There's games, I mean, the Chiefs, that's going to be a competitive, obviously. Bucks will obviously be competitive.
Hope.
Ravens, so those three. But other than that, they have a chance to knock off some wins if they want to make a run.
Yeah, agreed. You know, it's funny. You say they lost last week, and I'm thinking, shoot. And then I remember half right. the country, right. most of the country didn't even see it because it was on streaming.
Yeah,
it's funny because we talk about these games that are on streaming, TNF being, of course, the first one that everyone think about. Everyone thinks about, but that game was on ESPN Plus, and I don't have that. I listened to it on the radio. That's how I had to follow the game. So yeah, that one, it was almost like it didn't exist because they had the doubleheader on Monday night. Don't ask me why. The Ravens Bucks was the more marquee game, and that one seemed like a throwaway. I didn't really understand the strategy behind that.
Streaming games do not work for people like my father.
Yeah.
To watch
well, I mean, I have some streaming, but yeah. I don't have that channel.
No. He wanted to watch the Viking game, and it was right before I went to bed, he asked me about it.
You know, like, it's really funny.
I can't do it right now.
Sometimes my mom's husband uses my Paramount Plus because they have cut the cord. They don't have cable anymore. They only have a smart TV, but they don't have local channels. And so in order for him to watch the Texans or whatever game is airing, he uses my Paramount Plus so he can watch the CBS games. Yeah.
That's a lot of people. A
lot of families share. I will just be perfectly honest and say that the Disney Plus access that I use is not my own. I mean, I'm sharing, and the person that is sharing it with me, I share something with him. So yeah, I think there's plenty of that.
And they actually cut down on that too. They're trying.
They're trying.
Once
you're logged in though, if you don't get kicked and you don't log out, it's kind of hard to figure out, right?
I got kicked.
You got kicked.
So now we're trying to figure that out.
Oh, I understand. At Amy After Hours, our Facebook page too. And please check out the GIF. It's perfect for this time of the year, you guys. I'm going to need you to send me a laughing so hard you're crying emoji to go along with it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Play clock at 5:04. Snap to Brock. Brock going to throw left for the end zone. It's caught by George Kittle. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Kittle over the middle on an in cut in an absolute rope from Brock Purdy right in between two defenders.
For the ball game, fourth and goal. Prescott in the gun, snap is back. He has some time. He throws it in the end zone. It's a touchdown to Jalen Tolbert on the left side of the end zone, crossing in front of Deshaun Elliott. With 20 seconds to play. Goodness gracious me.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
on the Niners and Cowboys Radio Network. This is a game that matters a lot to both of these franchises. Remember the Niners, they had these back-to-back games that were really going to kind of underscore and measure where they are at this point. And last week's game against the Chiefs made a lot more challenging by the fact that they lost Brandon Ayuk. They did not have Juwan Jennings, and Deebo Samuel only played sparingly because of an illness that later then landed him in the hospital. And now you've got San Francisco hosting Dallas. And so another tough opponent. Now, both these games taking place in the Bay Area. So there's the plus. You've got your home fans behind you. But on Sunday Night Football, this is also a critical juncture for the Cowboys. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, you can find me both on Facebook as well as on Twix at A-Law Radio, and that's where we've got the Game of the Week poll. Yes, of course, this is an option, but I like to be different, so I didn't vote for it. Sometimes I like something a little different, but we did see last week Chiefs and Niners roped in 27 million viewers on average. You guys, it was week freaking 7. 27 million viewers. The numbers are way up this year on all the different platforms, including streaming, though I don't know how well ESPN Plus did with Chargers and Cardinals last week. But the TNF, the Thursday Night Football numbers are up on Amazon. As long as it's a relatively interesting matchup, and Vikings-Rams certainly was last night. So we've got Cowboys and Niners right now leading the pack, but not running away with it, Producer Pete. I'm part of the reason why, because I went Bears Commanders. I'm interested in seeing these two teams. They're up-and-comers. They've got new quarterbacks, although we may not see Jaden. But just the idea that they're fresh blood. And actually, after talking to Ron Rivera, even more intrigued by this Commanders team with a new owner, a new name, recently new name, new quarterback.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A lot of young players, even rookies that are part of the equation. Ron was very complimentary of Dan Quinn and his leadership and the Bears too. I mean, this is a great story if these two quarterbacks can be like, trying to think of another like 1-2 punch that we saw. We didn't see Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III very long, but they obviously went number one, number two, and it was Griffin who won Offensive Rookie of the Year. Remember the first year, even though the Colts made the playoffs with Andrew Luck. Yeah, this would be a lot of fun if these two guys were at the top and could help to make these two franchises relevant. They have incredible fan bases. Chicago Bears, one of the oldest teams in the NFL, and the Commanders, one of the great story traditions, but it's been absent for so long, and the excitement's been gone for so long, only now to be awakened by lots of changes, including ownership and owners who are committed to winning, a young rookie quarterback, a coach that they believe in. Just the whole reset has been great for this fan base, and I hear from so many Commanders fans who are thrilled. They can't wait for game day.
Yeah, it's amazing how quick it's happened.
Yeah, right?
I thought it would change because the organization's all set up for success now as compared to a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the most intriguing one on those four. That's going to be my vote.
Nice.
Although
lockstep.
Although I love the Texans, and they are going to hit that first tier at some point here. Maybe not this year, but maybe next year. If we talk about those three teams. I was mentioning those three teams, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Lions, who could win the Super Bowl. The Texans, I think, are going to get to that level. Maybe not this year, maybe next year, but they're almost there.
Mm. So Brock Purdy has had a couple of these, right, with Niners and Cowboys. He and Dak Prescott being the focus of attention this weekend.
I remember growing up just watching some games with them, and it just meant so much every time they played and faced off. So for me, you know, it was the same thing as last year. And then even for this game, man, Sunday Night Football against Dallas Cowboys as a 49er, like it's really special. And so we all take pride in that and are thankful to be able to play in this game. and yeah, it's a rivalry, so there's nothing better than that.
You go back and you look at those 6 weeks, and well, I guess you can say, you know, you clean your house and you figure out, you know, where you got what you've done wrong, what you need to get better, what haven't you done. And I would say it was great. Obviously, it was tough when you put those six games out there. Obviously, three wins, which is good, and the way that we've been playing, I guess you can say. And then obviously, those three losses were tough, especially two of them. You know what I mean? Just completely lopsided. That we've got to do better playing complementary football on offense, whether it's keeping the ball, converting third downs to keep our defense off the field, starting faster, scoring touchdowns, the things that all the stats say. And so then it was about, you know, finding the solutions. And credit to the coaches, credit to every player, looking at themselves and figuring out where they can do better individually to help their units and ultimately the team.
The Cowboys have those two really tough losses that Dak Prescott refers to, and all three of their losses have come at AT&T Stadium, which is a strange wrinkle. But the Saints bashed them in week number two. That was a huge surprise, 44-19. And they're coming off that loss against the Lions that was never really a contest, the 47-9 game going back to week number six. And so Dak's talking about the first 6 weeks, and he says, we've got three wins, which is good. I mean, I suppose, and it's all in your perspective, right, in a manner of speaking. You do have three wins, and they can't take those away from you. All three have come on the road. Maybe that bodes well for the Cowboys as they head into the Bay Area and Levi Stadium. Now, I don't know why this surfaces, but maybe it's because reporters were asking questions. I did not hear about this from Tuesday's conversation with Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, our affiliate with Sean and RJ, but they were asking him for his theories, ideas about what might be holding them back, the Cowboys back offensively.
The types of things that we all think we should be looking at is, well, we're designing bad plays, or we're designing bad concepts. And the facts are that there's some of that.
Oh, Lord. I guess he doesn't care who it is that he potentially is throwing under the bus.
Albatross around our neck.
Or what he stirs up by saying these things. Or maybe he just doesn't know what he's saying. So he is talking about bad plays and bad concepts. All right. You're the owner. You write the checks. We know you don't pay the radio hosts for this spot, but this is your opportunity to air your grievances every week. Whoever your target happens to be. So last week, it was Sean and RJ. He didn't like the line of questioning. He was defensive. He was cranky. He was grumpy. He was upset about his team and the fact that they just got pummeled by Detroit. Now, apparently, he's going to take aim at the offense. Mike McCarthy, who is calling the plays this year with Dak Prescott. Of course, he was doing it last year, too, and Dak was an MVP candidate. Anyway, what do you think is going to happen? Now, this is how I found out about it, is reporters trotting to Mike McCarthy to ask him about the bad plays and the bad concepts. Are you kidding me? For people who are upset about Gerard Mayo calling the Patriots soft and the way they played soft, what about this? Jerry at times does more harm than good. Again, he writes the checks, so I suppose as the owner you can do whatever the heck that you want to do. But what did you think was going to happen when you said that and people hear it and Mike McCarthy has to stand in front of a microphone the next day?
I didn't see the comments specifically, so but I don't think we have bad concepts in that place. But
I'll
go back and check. But we're not where we want to be. I mean, that's clearly, and that ultimately is my responsibility.
Do you hear him laugh? I don't think we have bad plays and bad concepts. And he can't keep the snicker out, because that's the whole thing is his boss just went on the radio and talked about how they have bad plays and bad concepts.
I'll go back and check.
I mean, it all looks bad when it's not executed well. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes I honestly think he doesn't know what he's talking. Well, he doesn't know what he's saying. He knows what he's talking about, but he doesn't know what he's saying. Or he's grasping for straws. Sometimes it's as simple as we just got our asses kicked. I mean, the Lions controlled the line of scrimmage. How about pointing to that in the game against the Cowboys? How do you know if your bad plays and your bad concepts might have worked better if your offensive line wasn't getting its rear end pushed all over the field?
I think,
call me crazy, but
I think Jerry's having a week. He's having a good stretch here where he's losing it. I don't think he's completely losing it.
Are these word salads?
Yes. I think he's just angry. He's probably just very angry and having a week and letting off some steam, because you notice how I haven't heard anything from Steven. And usually he's like the...
Or his daughter. Right. I mean, she's more on the business and marketing side, right?
But there's more of it. But they go back to reality when you hear from a Steven or whatnot. But I just think he's angry. He's probably angry at everything.
How about give Brian Brady some credit? The defense for the Lions was really good. He had a couple of picks. Remember, he had the forced fumble. And if you throw an interception in the end zone, well, there's one reason why you can't judge a play or a concept based on him throwing an interception in the end zone. If I remember, they were 0-for in the red zone, too. And so, I think there's a lot more to it than bad plays and bad concepts. That sounds like something.
I'll go back and check.
That sounds like something that a person would say who doesn't know what they're talking about, right? Like, you want to be as general as possible. Well, there's some bad plays and there's some bad concepts.
Well, that's also a guy that said he's not going to fire the coach. You know, he's not looking to fire the coach, but they have bad plays.
They have bad
and
plays and bad concepts.
He's trying to work around his statements.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it sounded like he was stalling, actually.
Right.
He didn't really know what to say. And so he comes up with something like bad plays and bad concepts. Could you imagine, just for the sake of argument, if it's a game that I'm talking about on Sunday night, week 8, and my synopsis is they have bad plays and bad concepts? Like, that's so general that it doesn't tell you a damn thing. But also, what about execution? These plays and concepts aren't so bad when they're executed correctly.
Imagine if he said that after the game, after that.
Bad plays and bad concepts.
And they went to McCarthy then. I don't know if it would have been a very jovial answer.
I was going to say, maybe he wouldn't have laughed. But it's hard not to laugh at something like that. That's what I'm saying.
I think McCarthy and others are probably like, oh, it's Jerry. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, I mean, he does manage to keep it professional most of the time. But yeah, even Mike McCarthy now and then, it's got to be annoying. All right.
I'll go back and check.
Thank you, Coach. You get right on that. The Dodgers will honor the legacy of Fernando Valenzuela during their pregame ceremony ahead of game 1 of the World Series. There's a mural up. There's all kinds of really neat tributes at Dodger Stadium. I'm actually really glad that they're hosting game 1 of the World Series for this reason. Lots of Dodger dignitaries and greats will be on hand. We'll do a little bit of a World Series preview coming up because it could be a global phenomenon, you know, Shohei Ohtani and such. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network, Sports Flash.
All right, and well, Matthew Stafford helping the Rams find their passing game.
Here comes Kupp in motion to balance it out 2x2. Stafford has a snap, 4-man rush, pressure in his face, goes out the left side, ducks the rush, flips to the end zone, Stafford!
Cooper Kupp, the touchdown reception, 1 of 4 for Stafford, who threw for 279, hooked up with Puka Nacua 7 times for 106 yards in his return as the Rams dismissed the Vikings 30-20. Call courtesy of the Rams Radio Network. LA improving to 3-4 while Minnesota dropped to 5-2, having lost back-to-back games. Chiefs officially getting 12-year veteran DeAndre Hopkins into the fold as they get reinforcements to a depleted wide receiving core. So when does Andy Reid anticipate Hopkins getting onto the field?
Well, it could be this weekend. You know, we'll see how he picks up. I've got him on practice field. But right, you know, why wait, right? If he can, you know, without putting him in a bad position.
Checking the NBA, big night for Luka Doncic.
Behind him to Luka, off of the screen, over Paul, hits again from three, and he has found the range here in the fourth quarter with 3 3-pointers. He's got 26 in the game.
28 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists for Doncic. Klay Thompson, 22 points in his Dallas debut as the Mavericks bounce the Spurs 120-109. Call courtesy of the Mavericks Radio Network. Elsewhere, Julius Randle poured in 33 as the T-Wolves survived the Kings 117-115. Thunder overpowered the Nuggets 102-87. Chet Holmgren, 25 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks. And the Celtics rocked the Wizards 122-102. Jaylen Brown at 27. Jason Tatum at a 25. Off the floor, an ex-Clippers staffer has sued the team and president of basketball operations Lawrence Frank, alleging wrongful termination in part for raising questions about the management of Kawhi Leonard's injuries. Pacers suffered a loss. James Wiseman suffered a torn Achilles in their season-opening win against the Pistons. In college football, Pitt returned 3 interceptions for scores. They intercepted Kyle McCord 5 times, drubbing Syracuse 41-13, and Old Dominion routed Georgia Southern 47-19. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Right-handed Alvarez is ready. So is Blake Treinen. McNeil goes for second. Alvarez swings. A bouncer to second. Taylor has it in the glove. It's over! It's over! Dodgers win the pennant! Champions of the National League in 2024! The Dodgers are going back to the World Series!
It'll be a 1-2. Swung on, a high fly to right. Soto is there. Juan Soto makes the catch. Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We asked you even before it happened, not that I was sure, only that it was a possibility. How would you feel if it was Dodgers and Yankees in the World Series? And appropriately and fittingly so, we had the great divide. Some of you are over the moon excited about the top two home run hitters, the presumptive MVPs from each of the leagues meeting along with their teams, of course, and other MVPs, right? We're not talking about only Ohtani and Judge. There are other MVPs that play for each of these teams to get the two best teams that have such passionate fan bases. And of course, the East versus West and the global interests with Ohtani and Yamamoto and all of Japan. I got to figure out the timing for these games because I believe the first pitches all happen at 5:08 LA time, 8:08 Eastern time. I believe that's the first pitch for East of these in the PM, of course. So I wonder, kind of wondering how it's going to work out in Japan. So I'm going to have to do the math. I cannot do it while I'm talking, but if someone wants to find me online and let me know at A-Law Radio, where's our friend Michael Duarte of NBC LA when we need him? And actually I saw him like one of my tweets about 5 minutes ago, so I know he's still awake. He was there covering World Series Media Day and put a lot of the details out about how they plan to honor Fernando Valenzuela, who will certainly cast a large shadow, especially over games 1 and 2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Both the Dodgers and Yankees radio networks, Steven Nelson for LA and John Sterling for New York. And yes, a lot of the guys commenting about Valenzuela and his impact and the loss of this Dodger great just a few days ago.
I'm going to be feeling it this whole series, you know, especially, you know, the big games he played in here. So, you know, definitely going to be missed. And I think, you know, not only Dodger fans, I think everybody in baseball is going to be mourning that loss.
He meant so much to the Dodger Nation. I mean, it's kind of unexplainable. You can't really put into words what he means to everyone here. And so, obviously, that inopportune time, and, you know, it's a part of life, and you just have to enjoy the moments while he was here, and hopefully we can bring home a World Series for him.
The voices of Aaron Judge and Mookie Betts are talking about how they're going to work. Are they going to work to win a World Series? Though I think I saw that I don't want to misquote him, but I'm pretty sure Dave Roberts put out on his social with a photo of Valenzuela's number, just a little a tribute because they knew each other well, that they were going to win for him. I don't think that you can take that as a guarantee when you're talking about missing an icon and someone who's passed away, but I feel like I did see that online. So, yes, there will be a tribute before game one. The fact that it's in Dodger Stadium, I think, is also really powerful and the right thing that happens. Then we've got these two teams that will clash on the field. And, yeah, Dave Roberts, Aaron Boone, both sure that this is a marquee matchup that people will sink their teeth into.
You could easily argue that on a global scale, the Yankees and the Dodgers are the most followed, the most supported, the most visible. And so obviously with that, those two, you know, are two great organizations and the branding, it's going to be very visible.
I think this is something that will garner a lot of interest all over the country, all over the world. You know, probably more so than usual. I think everyone can identify with Dodgers, can identify with Yankees, and just what that means worldwide.
There is the Japanese interest, but it's not just Japanese. There's a lot of other interest in the East Orient, the Asian cultures that not only are watching where they are, but also how many more Asian Americans are into baseball now because of Ohtani and because of Yamamoto in this series in particular. I mean, we heard the stories from Duarte when he was with us during the NLCS. So was it last week or the week before? Was it last week?
I think it was last week.
Yeah. Goodness. The days all blend together. He was here talking about what a massive following everywhere they go, and that Ohtani, because of the Japanese media and the Asian media, has to have his own separate schedule. That even the other Dodgers, who are MVPs, are in awe of it because of how hotly demand, well, in high demand he is, how hotly demanded his time and his insight. And so that's a whole different stratosphere. We've got Jack Flaherty and Gerrit Cole facing each other, or facing their respective lineups, starting in game number one. But you hear this funny little back and forth with Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts about their California backgrounds?
I'm a Trojan, so as we all know in here, you know, that you're Trojan for life. You're brewing for 4 years. So I think that's the case with that's probably the case with Doc. He's probably, like, indifferent, you know. I get pissed off when the Trojans lose. They're like, whatever.
Earlier, Aaron Boone, talking about knowing you for 30-plus years, went back and said, to make clear, you're a Trojan for life, but a Bruin for 4 years.
Ouch. Ouch, that hurts. Yeah, we go way back. We got a lot of history, but it's all in fun. I got nothing but love and respect for Aaron.
I assume you would disagree with that.
I absolutely disagree, 100%.
And he said when he landed yesterday, he sent you a Yankee emoji.
Yeah, you know what? There was another emoji that I thought about sending him with one finger, but it didn't. I just gave a laughing emoji back.
Or you could send some of my first graders that I used to teach in Sunday school, they would say it was a chocolate ice cream emoji, but I think many people use it as a pile of poo emoji. So you could have sent that one too.
I would have sent that one.
Yeah. All right. We've looked it up. We've done our research. Right now in Tokyo, it's 13 hours ahead of us. If you're in the Eastern time zone, but those of us who are in the Pacific time zone, it is 16 hours ahead right now. So it is nearly 6 o'clock p.m. in Tokyo at this moment, which means, again, 13 hours ahead on the East Coast, 16 hours ahead on the West Coast. So we're talking about a 9 a.m. roughly start time in Tokyo for all of these World Series games, which means they're going to be skipping work. They're going to be completely unproductive. 9 o'clock in the morning, everything shuts down in Japan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.